चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। जय श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की जय। मथुरा वृंदावन धाम की जय। मायापुर जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय। कलयुग पावन हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय। निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे ऑल ग्लोरियस असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। ओम अज्ञानतिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं। वंदेहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुता पदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातम् सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं त्वं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजना सहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। नमाओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामीनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे। नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामने गौरत्विषे नमः। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये। वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। सर्वशास्त्रादि पीयूषा सर्ववेदैक सत्फल सर्वसिद्धांत रत्नाढ्य सर्वलोक एक दृक्प्रद सर्वभागवत प्राण श्रीमद्भागवतम् प्रभो कलिध्वान्तोदितादित्य श्रीकृष्ण परिवर्तित। Reading from Canto 11, Chapter 23, Text 55. Kalastu heto sukha dukha yoschet kim atmanas tatra tadatmako asau na agner hitapo na himasya tatsyat क्रुध्येत कस्मै न परस्य द्वन्द्वम्। कालस्तु हेतुः सुखदुःखयोश्चेत् किमात्मनस्तत्र तदात्मकोऽसौ न अग्निर्हितापो न हिमस्य तत्स्यात् क्रुध्येत कस्मै न परस्य द्वन्द्वम्। कालस्तु हेतुः सुख दुःखयोश्चेत् किमात्मनस्तत्र तदात्मकोऽसौ नाग्निर्हितापो न हिमस्य तत्स्यात् क्रुध्येत कस्मै न परस्य द्वन्द्वम्
Matajis. Kalaha, time. Tu, but. Hetuhu, the cause. Sukha dukkhayoho, of happiness and distress. Cheta, if. Kim, what. Atmanaha, for the soul. Tatra, in that idea. Tat atmakaha, based on time. Asau, the soul. Na, not. Agnehe, from fire. He, indeed. Tapaha, burning. Na, not. Himasya, of snow. Tat, that. Syat, becomes. Krudhyeta, should become angry. Kasmai, at whom? Na, there is not. Parasya, for the transcendental soul. Dvandvam, duality. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. If we accept time as the cause of happiness and distress, that experience still cannot apply to the spirit soul. Since time is a manifestation of the Lord's spiritual potency, and the living entities are also expansions of the Lord's spiritual potency manifested through time. Certainly a fire does not burn its own flames or sparks, nor does the cold harm its own snowflakes or hail. In fact, the spirit soul is transcendental and beyond the experience of material happiness and distress. At whom, therefore, should one become angry? The material body is dull matter and does not experience happiness, distress or anything else. Because the spirit soul is completely transcendental, he should fix his consciousness on the transcendental Lord, who is beyond material happiness and distress. It is only when transcendental consciousness falsely identifies with dull matter that the living entity imagines he is enjoying and suffering in the material world. This illusory identification of consciousness with matter is called false ego and is the cause of material existence. So we are reading from the verses called Bhikshu Gita, where Avanti Brahman is giving his analysis of his situation. Basically, he mentions six proposed causes of dualities in this world which he rejects. Nayam janome sukdukkha heto na devatatma griha karma kala. Manaparam karana mamananti samsara chakram parivartayediyat. So he was saying earlier in the previous verses, six causes of happiness and distress: janaha, people; devaha, demigods; atma, this body; griha, planets; karma, my own actions of the past; or kala, time. So interestingly, when even amongst devotionally inclined people, when they try to analyze the cause of their happiness and distress, they generally say, samay kharab chal raha hai, kal is bad, ya mere karam aise hain, main apne karmon ka bhog raha hun ji, right? Many times we actually say like that. Interestingly, Avanti Brahman is refuting even that. In the previous verses we have seen, and there is a sixth verse where he speaks about, kala is also not responsible for my suffering. He takes total full responsibility that it is my own mind only, which is a very difficult kind of acceptance, because spirit soul finds some sort of solace when he has somewhere to point his finger to, especially when distress comes. When happiness comes, he knows where to point the finger. I did this, I did that, I achieved this, I achieved that, right? I, right? This finger is pointed towards the person. But when difficulties come in life, distress comes in life, you know, everybody becomes an empire. He says, upar wale ne aisa kyun kiya mere saath, right? All this kind of, or we start finding, because in trying to find out the cause of our distress, the reason why we are distressed, the reason why this difficulty comes, spirit soul gets this illusory satisfaction of finding the cause and saying that, see, I am not responsible for what is going on. But one of the, you know, most difficult things in life is to accept personal responsibility for what we are going through. And we invest so much emotional and energy in trying to understand and adjust, why am I suffering? Why am I suffering? Why am I suffering? And recently I was called at a conference, and there was this lady who was speaking, who was the Paralympics gold medalist. And Paralympics means, you know, differently abled people have their own Olympics games. And she made a very interesting point. She was asked this question that, how did you handle this sudden disfiguring of your body or paralysis of your body, and still you continued to work? And she made a very nice thing. She said, in my life, I had always followed this principle to accept quickly and adapt quickly, and not waste your energy in just trying to deny what has happened. Now, it's very difficult. I mean, it can be easy to say. If it is a small things, you know, you made your plate and somebody picked up your gulab jamun, it's easy to accept. Theek hai, aaj nahi, kal mil jayega. No problem. But if it is something more lethal, something more, you know, phenomenal, then it becomes very difficult. So, here Avanti Brahman is taking full responsibility of his situation. And you understand that above six are simply mediums by which our karma is administered. So today, whatever time we have at our disposal, we are trying to make an attempt here to understand four aspects here, based on the verse and based on the context. First, I'd like to briefly mention about the nature of kala from the basis of Bhagavatam. What do great souls speak about it? Right? Then I'll speak about whom should one get angry at. We have to find out somebody whom you can get angry at, right? Krudhyeta kasmai naparasya dvandvam. Whom should one get angry at? Then how does conditioned souls and liberated souls respond to distress in life? And how does one change the response from conditioned state to liberated self? These are the four things I'll make an attempt to discuss in next whatever time we have with our disposal. So in the Bhagavatam it is said, whom does time tries to control? All of us have experienced the time factor acting on us, right? I remember the first class I ever took in Vidyapeeth was calculation of time from the atom. This was 3rd canto, 11th chapter, where how the time and Maitreya Muni and Vidura are discussing about the time factor, how to exactly measure time. And he actually tells Vidura that actually, Vidura, it's not possible to understand time. Only someone who is extremely advanced and, you know, deep in his consciousness can understand the navigations of time. Because we all know, we can only observe the transformation time actually creates. But time in itself, energy, we have no control, we have no understanding also. What is this samaya? Remember that Mahabharata serial used to come? Main samaya ho. And all they could show is a wheel turning. You know, kala chakra turning. It's imperceptible. And these clocks and watches, these are all the ways we actually measure time. In the modern system, they have this, what is that, cesium 113's isotope ka certain vibrations is equal to 1 second, something like that, they say. The time it takes to transit from one level to another. Just the way you can actually measure time. But what is time is totally against, totally away from you. It's imperceptible. Like if you want to understand how the time is acting on us, just go in your home and look at your album. And you see the time acting. I was, after college program, I was just waiting outside the college to take a auto rickshaw. I was waiting. And then suddenly one little boy came, really tiny. Chota sa bachcha aya, uchalta hua. And then suddenly he thought my shikha to be like mandir ka ghanta. So he jumped and usko bajaya aisa usne. Literally, he jumped and usko bajaya. And then he said, uncle, ye kya hai? So first of all, I was amused at his question. I was like laughing at his question. Ye kya hai? But wo jab chala gaya, to mere man mein sirf ek hi shabd goonj raha tha. Uncle. Uncle kisko bula hai? Bhaiya bolna chahiye tha. Uncle kisko bula? And then you don't realize that you're actually growing old. You're actually growing old. You don't realize it, but everybody else can see it. And that is very difficult for people to accept, to identify with the body. Right? So time is passing, we don't realize, but time is passing and everyone can observe its effects on everyone else except themselves. Alright. So he's saying, Kalo ayam parmanu adir dvi parardhant ishvaraha naivishtum prabhur bhumna ishvaro dhamamani nam. He's saying that time controls everything from atoms to Brahma's life. Right? But this time is controlled by the Supreme Lord. Ishvaraha naivishitum prabhur bhumna. And this time, Bhagavat Maitreya Muni is saying, is that it can control only those who are bodily conscious. Dhamma mani nam, he says. People who are bodily conscious, time controls them. He says, even up to the Satya Loka or to the other higher planets of the universe. Right? The same Bhagavatam says, evam kalopi anumitaha sokshme stholye cha sattama samsthan bhuktya bhagavan avyakto vyakta bhug vibhu. This time is the potency of the almighty personality of Godhead who controls all physical movement, although he is not visible in this physical world. So Krishna is omniscient, Krishna is omnipresent, Krishna is omnipotent, but Krishna does not manifest his omnipotency in this world. That means, especially in this day and age of Kali Yuga, he does not come down and the way he manifests his omnipotency is through the medium of time factor. Through the medium of time factor, he actually controls everything. In the 3rd canto itself, in the 6th chapter, Prabhupada writes in one of the purports that how Kala is the energy of the Lord which is represented by Goddess Kali. She is the representation of this Kala Shakti which creates destruction in this world. So great personalities throughout the Bhagavatam are speaking about the power and influence of the time factor. And Bhagavatam opens up with the realization of this very illustrious personality named Bhishma Dev, who is on the bed of arrows after 400 odd years of trying to maneuver the politics of the royal palace. hoping that there is a dharmic king sitting on the throne of Hastinapur, his vow to protect the throne of Hastinapur, struggled for so long time. In spite of being himself so capable, he still had to do the duty, have the patience to see that a dharmic king sits on this throne. And ultimately Yudhishthir is sitting. But when he finally sat down, Bhishma was not even in a position to get up and embrace him. That is Kala. Sometimes things that you love, you live for, you will not be able to rejoice when they actually happen. Therefore Krishna is saying, Skarmandevadikaraste. Just be attached to performing your duty. Don't be attached to the results of your activities. Because you may not be there to enjoy them. So Bhishma, when Yudhishthira Maharaj is beside himself, is not able to get consoled even by Krishna's words, and he's just crying. He said, what am I done? Just to become the king of Hastinapur, I have massacred. In Mahabharata, Dhritarashtra actually asks Yudhishthira Maharaj after the battle is over, he said, please tell me how many people actually died in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And he said, 1 billion. We started with a certain number, but looks like the armies kept joining, whatever. It says 1 billion. That is 1/7 of the world's population in 18 days. That's like quite a wholesale massacre that happened. So anyone, any soft person would be like, oh my God, because of me. You know? Sometimes because, you know, of the color that we wear, you go somewhere, you go in the kitchen, prasadam is about to get over and there are 5 people standing and the server says, hey, Prabhuji ko den do. Prabhuji ko lena do pehle. And then he is already making sounds in the bucket. The biryani is getting over. Smoked biryani. It's getting over. Already awaz aa raha hai. A plate mein pad raha hai. And then you realize that the other person is not going to get anything. So any sensitive Vaishnava will be like, oh my God, because of me, 5 will go hungry? Did I interfere? If we are just concerned about our belly, then we say, "Acha, hum to milna hi chahiye, apun to idhar rehta hai, dekho bahar likha, residents only, lunch. Inko aana hi nahi chahiye tha, they are like Karna, why Swayamvar mein kyun aaye, jab pata tha, participation allowed nahi." All these kind of justifications can happen, but a kind soul will actually happen, oh, did I encroach upon others? Imagine Yudhishthir, being such a personality, so soft-hearted, everything else, he is willing to, you know, forgive Pandu, you know, Kauravas, even after his kingdom is usurped, and for him such a war is, you know, fought, and then he is made the king, he is automatically going to think, so he is thinking deeply, is it because of me? And then Krishna is not able to convince him, because he wanted to glorify Bhishma, so he comes, brings him to Bhishma, well-dressed like kings. And Bhishma, just seeing them, he is actually saying that, oh my God, what all you guys have gone through. Aho kashtam aho anyayam yad yuyam dharmanandana. He was not adharmanandana. Dharmanandana. He was the son of Dharmaraj. Who will understand dharma better than him? But what kind of kashta, so many pain and anyaya, so much injustice they had to face. Jivitum narada klishtam vipra dharma chutashraya. You didn't deserve to even live. But you still survive because you have actually taken shelter of 3 things, he says. Vipras, Dharma and Achyuta. People who are wise, the injunctions of the scriptures and Krishna himself. He said, because you never gave up shelter of these 3 things in spite of what happened, you were saved. You are protected. So Prabhupada is writing, as long as a person is fully in cooperation with the wishes of the Lord, guided by bona fide Brahmanas and Vaishnavas and is strictly following religious principles, one has no cause for despondency, however trying the circumstances of life may be. And in the next verse, Bhishma very categorically actually, you know, remembers one personality who was apparently not present in front of them. That was Kunti Maharani. And he remembers, my daughter-in-law had to suffer so much. Before your birth and after your birth, because of all of you. Nobody was envious of Kunti. People were envious of Pandavas. Duryodhana had no issue with Kunti. But Kunti had to struggle, suffer because of the Pandavas. So he is remembering the pains of daughter-in-law even more. And he himself is in so much pain. But still, that is the nature of great souls. They are always empathic, sensitive towards what others are going through. And then he is saying, I don't understand how this is possible. Sarvam kala kritam vanye bhavatam chayada priyam se palo sadvashe loko vayuri vaghanavali. He said this must be the time factor. Just like the time factor, he gives this analogy, and Kapila also speaks this analogy of Right. Vayur Iva Ghanavali. Sun is so powerful. This analogy is very instructive actually. The sun is so powerful, it gives light to every corner of the universe. Right? Sun gives light, sun gives heat. But as soon as during the rainy season big clouds come, sun is obscured. The most powerful sun is covered up, which you cannot cover by anything, but a dark cloud covers up the sun temporarily. And you cannot move this dark cloud by any means. We don't have any material means to remove the dark cloud. But a strong gust of wind comes and the dark cloud is just thrown away. This is Vayur Iva Ghanavali, just like wind just pushes these dark clouds away. Just pushes this huge mass of clouds away, which otherwise are not possible to be moved. And this wind is never visible. It is Ramahasa. That's why Narad Muni is actually using the adjective of Ramahasa. Ramahasa means an invisible force. Irresistible. Invincible. That is the Samaya. Kala. He's saying. So, Prabhupada in that purport actually write that everyone has to bear the actions and reactions of time as long as one is within the conditions of the material world. Yudhishthira should not think that he had committed sins in his previous birth and is suffering the consequence. Even the most pious has to suffer the conditions of material nature. One should not be disturbed by the tricks of eternal time. Prabhupada uses the word. Tricks of eternal time. Even the great controller of the universe, Brahmaji, is also under the control of that time. Therefore, one should not grudge being thus controlled by time, despite being a true follower of religious principles. So just because one is dharmic doesn't mean misery will not come, difficulties will not come, challenges will not come. Time will bring all of them. Time will serve out all these things in front of us. Right? So he is actually, Bhishma Devi is saying that it is so wonderful to look at. You had Bhima by your side, who was the best of the warriors, most powerful personality. You had Arjuna, who was so cool, calm, composed, you know, such a powerful archer. You had Krishna by your side. Still you suffered so much. How do you explain this? I don't have any way to explain this kind of suffering that you underwent except the time factor. So Prabhupada writes in that purport that Kaal is identical with the Lord himself, and therefore the influence of Kaal indicates, very nice word Prabhupada uses, and probably only once in the entire Bhagavatam. He uses the word inexplicable wish of the Lord. This word probably at least I have not come across. Inexplicable word being used again, but Prabhupada uses the word inexplicable wish of the Lord. Cannot be expressed, cannot be understood. And the next few further verses, Bhishma actually says that you cannot understand Krishna's plan. And Prabhupada says, there is nothing to be lamented when a matter is beyond the control of any human being. Don't lament. If it is something beyond, if you are in that category of Vipra Dharman Achyuta Ashraya, and if time is bringing certain things, Bhagavatam is saying, don't lament. Of course, that's not easy. So how should one use one time? Narad Muni is saying, Tasyeva Heto Prayateta Kovido Nalabhite Yad Brahmatam Upariyada Talabhite Dukhva Danyata Sukam Kalina Sarvatra Gabhira Rama. So this Kala brings happiness and distress. Therefore, my dear friend, my dear disciple Vyasdev, an intelligent being should not, Kovida, an intelligent being should not use his time trying to get something which is obtainable in the 14 planetary systems. Time should be spent for something that is not attainable simply by karma or by the passage of time. Interestingly, in the Bhagavatam 12th canto, as Bhagavatam is concluding, Bhumi Devi gives an interesting gloss on how she observes these people who are struggling against time. And she's saying, such kings, and she names all the prominent kings who are mentioned in the Bhagavatam. If I remember correctly, Bhagavatam mentions a couple of thousand names of various kings in its description of the Surya Vamsha and the Chandra Vamsha. So many names are being mentioned. And she's mentioning some other names. She's taking Prithu, Pururva, Gadi, Nahusha, Shantanu, Bhagirath, Namuchi, Shambhara, Hiranyaksha, Taraka. All these people had great powers of control over others. They were heroic, full of knowledge. They tried to control, they tried to conquer different portions of me. Although they lived their lives intensely trying to possess me, These kings were subject to the passage of time. And she is using a very interesting word. She says, Kathavasheshaha Kalena. Kathavasheshaha Kalena means they are just historical accounts now. Chale gaye sab. They are just some historical accounts. And the reason why Bhagavatam mentions so many names is like, such glorious people, all you know is their name now. All we know is just their name. Nahusha was at one point in time king of Swarg Loka. Right? We see in this world just to become some minister of a small state in India is so many, right, turmoil. He was king of Swarga. What kind of sovereignty he had? But time. Kathavashesha kalena. You go to some museums and you see these huge portraits of kings of the past. He was that Nawab, he was that king. What is exactly being shown? Apart from the glory that they have manifested. Kathavashesha kalena. The influence of the time factor. So the question that need to be asked is, the choices that we are going to make in this world is, whether I am going to be history soon or do I want to be historical? My choices in life are going to make this difference. Do I become history or do I become historical? Otherwise time doesn't, no one can survive the time factor. So in this way, Bhagavatam, several others, Prahlad Maharaj speaks and many other personalities speak about the time factor. Now whom should one get angry at? The purport says that soul is transcendental to material happiness and distress. Krudhet kasmai naparasya dvandvam. Kispe gussa ho? And His Holiness Raghunath Swami Maharaj in his last Bhagavatam class gave this beautiful analogy. It's just so deep. He said, if you cut your own tongue, whom do you get angry at? It's so profound actually. And it's very regular also. It happens to us. You bite your tongue, you bite your inner part of the cheek or whatever. And whom do you get angry at? You tolerate, right? We just tolerate. We don't like start slapping ourselves, beating ourselves, kicking ourselves. Krudhyeta kasmai naparasya dvandvam, he's saying. So Bhagavatam is time and again mentioning that Kal is not responsible for our experience in this world. It only influences the modes, and based on where we keep ourselves, we get either favored or defeated. In the 7th canto of Bhagavatam, after he hears the Devasura Sangram in the 6th canto and all these things, interactions between demigods and demons, and then Parikshit Maharaj is asking interesting question to Shukadeva Goswami, like, how can someone who is impartial like Krishna show some sort of partiality towards anyone? He's favoring the demigods, killing the demons. What is this all about? And at that time, Shukadeva Goswami actually says that this is not, you know, the activities of the Lord. Lord does not favor anything or anyone. It is a time which simply promotes sattva guna, sometimes promotes rajo guna, sometimes promotes tamo guna, and people respectively under the different modes get favored or they lose. It is not. Time is objective. Just like, you know, there are rains. Rainy season comes. But if you have painted your wall, you will be in distress. Because the paint will get washed away. But if you have planted your crops, you will be happy. Rain is objective. What have you done in your life determines the effect of that rain on our life. So time is objective. Right? Time is very objective. It doesn't favor or disfavor. Depending upon our, choices of what kind of modes we have kept ourselves and what kind of karma we have accumulated. So saying, Kalam charantam sajatisha ashrayam pradhanapum bhyam naradeva satyakrit. O great king, the supreme personality of Godhead, the controller of the material and spiritual energy, who is the creator of the entire cosmos, creates the time factor to allow the material energy and the living entity to act within the limits of time. The way Krishna controls material energy is through the medium of Kala. Mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. So, bhutva bhutva praliyate is with the time factor he tries to control them. So, in the, even in Samudra Manthan pastime, when the demigods are, they have lost everything, and when they approach Brahmaji and Brahmaji takes all of them to Vishnu, Lord Narayan makes a very interesting statement. He says, make truce with the demons, because right now time is not favoring you. Time is favoring the demons. Just make truce with them, and when time comes, you once again become the kings. It's like that big, you know, wheel in the, in a, what you call a mela, time is actually just going on. So he's saying, Kalena anugrahitaistaira. As long as you're not flourishing, you should make a truce. Kalka anugraha hai abhi. Of course, Bhagavatam gives two versions of this particular word. He says, Kalena or Kavyena. So Kalena means favored by time, Kavyena means favored by Shukracharya. And Prabhupada takes both the meanings and he says, demons were favored both by time and Shukracharya. Therefore, they were undefeatable. They were undefeatable. Right? So, but sometimes question arises that how come you can say that the, you know, material body does not go any happiness and distress. We see there is so much pain, so much anxiety. If you go for, you know, cold winter season, you get sick, this, that. It looks like the body suffers. And because the body suffers, the soul also must be suffering. Maharaj Rahugana and Jadbharat, when they are having conversations beside the palanquin on their way to Savira, and in the conversation, our Jadbharatji is saying that, you are saying that I am fatigued because of carrying this heavy load, but I am a soul, I don't get fatigued. And in response to that, Maharaj Rahugana, he had a very good rebuttal, very respectfully, but good rebuttal he gave. He said, I am not able to understand this point that you are saying that if the body suffers, the soul doesn't suffer. Because, he gives an example, he said, just like a pot in which rice is being cooked, if the water, the pot boils, the pot gets heated, the water boils, and therefore the rice inside the pot also gets cooked. So just because the soul is in contact with the subtle body is connected with prana, the prana is in contact with the gross body, if some suffering happens to the gross body, even the soul should suffer. How can you say it is not happening? And then Jadbara says, this analogy is incomplete. He says, in this analogy, both the pot and the grain are both material. But in the case of the spirit soul is nothing to do with matter. It is not material. Therefore, the laws which apply to matter cannot apply to the soul. So why does a living entity experiences suffering in this world is, Bhagavatam time and again makes this point that it is because of misidentification with matter. And this conversation comes in the several places in the Bhagavatam, but one of the places is Maitreya Vidura Samvad, once again, in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, where Vidura is asking an interesting question. He's saying, this pure soul which has pure consciousness, how can it be overcome by nations? It is pure and it is unaffected because of any situation. And moreover, this soul is always accompanied by the super soul. How, with the presence of the super soul, the living entity's activities result in misfortune and misery? Paramatma ke saath baitha hai, phir bhi pareshan hai. Why? He's asking this question. And Maitreya gives an elaborate answer, but one of the things that he says is, the reason of a living entity suffering in nations is because of atma viparyayaha. Very interesting word he uses. We call in the modern terms existential crisis and things like that. The word he uses, atma viparyayaha. He is confused about his self-identity. He does not know who he is. And because of that, he starts identifying with things around him and gets bewildered. And he gives an example. Yatha jale chandramasaha kampadistat krito gunaha drishyate asannapi drishtur atmano anatmano guna. As the moon reflected on waters appear to tremble. Why? Because the water is trembling. The moon is not trembling, water is trembling. But anyone who sees the moon in the reflection, he sees the moon may also be trembling. So he says, because the living entity identifies with matter, he begins to suffer. Although actually nothing happens to him. It's simple to understand. Imagine you come to temple. Imagine you come to temple in your nice new, you know, Ferrari or something, or Mercedes Maybach, and is just parked right outside the temple. And suddenly you hear a crashing sound of a branch of a tree falling and crashing into a windscreen. And then somebody comes and tells the name, number plate of the car, that so-and-so number plate car, please remove it because it has been crashed. Kindly do the needful because... And if the number is the same as your car number, no matter how enjoyable the Bhagavatam class is, no matter how elaborate the menu of the breakfast is, you will immediately run. And if, God forbid, if the car is yours which has been smashed, you will forget everything. All shanti, peace, cool, calm, composure. Forget car, Baba. Even if you don't find your shoe on the shoe stall on festival day, right? People forget everything, all the experience, all the halwa they forget. Chappal nahi mila hamara. Chappal dhundwaiye. Aap aisa kaise kar sakte? Because in the shoe stall festivals, you know. And then none of the shoe stall person is able to figure out where the chappal is. Then the boss is called. Surya Krishna Prabhu comes. He appears. With his calm, composed demeanor, he starts scanning everything. And he asks some quick 2-3 questions. Kaisa hai? Single hai? Double hai? Kaisa hai? Ek jodi, do jodi? And cut. I don't know how he figures that out. Unimaginable. And sometimes, on big festival days, he keeps a set of chappals. Matlab, hona hi hai gadbad. So he keeps a set of, you know, simple chappals ki koi aisa aaye nahi mile to pehna ke ghar bhej do, baad mein dekhenge. We'll see. But our response in this world actually gets, we forget everything. As soon as something we identified is questioned. And generally, things which become envious of or we become pained is all related to what we identify with. Right? If you are not a good cook and somebody comes and says, tumhe to kuch dal mein chhok lagana bhi nahi aata. हाँ चलेगा, नो प्रॉब्लम, आप लगा दो मैं खा लूंगा. इट्स नॉट सो बिग डील. इफ यू आर नॉट अ म्यूजिशियन, क्या बेसुरा गा रहा है, क्या करें प्रभु जी, बस क्या बताएं. बट इफ यू आर नोन टू बी एन एडेप्ट इन दैट फील्ड. वंस हिज ग्रेस गौरांग वाज गिविंग ब्रह्मचारी क्लास एंड ही सर, हाउ डू यू नो व्हाट इज योर मिस आइडेंटिफिकेशन, व्हाट इज योर आइडेंटिटी, जस्ट सी द एरिया इन विच यू डोंट नीड एनीवन्स हेल्प. दैट्स योर एरिया ऑफ फॉल्स ईगो बेसिकली. And if someone comes and questions you there, right? If someone comes and questions you there, then we get agitated. We want to defend, we want to justify, right? If somebody comes and tells a brahmachari, kya tumse kuch, you don't have any information about how financial market is working. Sorry sir, we have no finances only, how to know about financial market, who is crashing, who is rising, we have no concern. Rather, that will be considered as glorification. But if a brahmachari is questioned, क्या कुछ शास्त्र वास्त्र नहीं आता है, टाइम पास कर रहा है, बस बैठ के इधर फ्री का खाता है. ऐसा कैसे बोला, फ्री का खाता है बैठ के, कुछ शास्त्र वास्त्र नहीं पढ़ रहा है, दैट हर्ट्स. सो वट एवर इज आर आइडेंटिटी, वेन दैट इज जोल्टेड, इट एक्चुअली क्रिएट्स पेन. सो यू नो अवर जड़ भरत इज अनडिस्टर्ब बिकॉज इट डज नॉट आइडेंटिफाई विद बॉडी एट ऑल. सो मिस आइडेंटिफिकेशन विद मैटर कॉजेज मिजरी. That is why Shastras always recommend about Vairagya, 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 is to cut misidentifications as much as possible. Keep life simple. And detachment does not mean that you don't anything, but nothing owns you. That is the idea. It's not that there were great kings who were Rajarishis, who were very detached, very prosperous also at the same time. Now, how does one respond to distress in life? We saw what is time. We saw whom should you get angry at. One cannot get angry at because it's our own results of our own deeds or whatever. It's our own mind which is causing misery. The nations is created because of misidentification, because of which we suffer. So now the third thing we wanted to discuss was how does one respond to distress in life? Arjuna is asking this question. In the Gita, second chapter, when the Lord is explaining that by understanding the science, how you become equipoised, equanimity arises. Once you perform your swadharma, sanatan dharma, you'll become equipoised. So then he's asking, istit pragyasya ka bhasha samadhisthasya keshava? Istitakim prabhasheta kimasita vrajetakim? So he's saying, you know, what are the symptoms and ka bhasha, how does he respond to the distress in this world? Right? And Krishna actually explains dukkheshu anadyukrimana sukkheshu vigadas priya. Basically this one theme is repeated n number of times in the Gita about equanimity. Equanimity. Be equipoised. Be equipoised. See what is happening in your life and think deeply. So the conditioned soul's response, if we see some examples, there could be many varieties. I have just picked a few examples from the Bhagavatam where a conditioned soul is giving a response to distress in their life. So first is a general response is lamentation. When distress comes in life, and we have the example of the in the seventh canto of Bhagavatam, queens of Uchinara province, where Hiranyakashipu is giving this reference to his mother and his sister-in-law, Vrishabahu, about why they should not grieve and lament about Hiranyaksha's death. And Ushinara province, these ladies were crying so loudly, it is said in the Bhagavatam, that those cries could be heard even up to Yamaloka, and Yamaraj had to come down as a small little boy and give instructions to them and release their lamentation. So first kind of response conditioned soul gives is lamentation. Second is we start accusing providence. This also often happens. We start accusing providence. Bhagavan ne aisa kyun kiya? God is all powerful, but maybe he is not all merciful. But maybe he is all merciful, he is not all powerful. All kind of theories we start conjecturing. And we have the classic example of Kritadyuti in the Srimad Bhagavatam. When her son, Harshashoka, dies because of the plot of these other ladies in the palace, she is accusing providence. She says, providence, I think, aho vidhata, she is saying, tvam ativa balisha. बचकाने काम करते हैं आप. नाम तो है विधाता, मतलब बुद्धि होनी चाहिए. तुम अतीव बालिश, यू आर एक्चुअली एक्टिंग वेरी वेरी इन एन इनएक्सपीरियंस्ड मैनर. व्हाई? शी सेइंग यस्तु आत्म सृष्टि अप्रतिरूपम ई हसे परेनु जीवति अपरस्य मृत्युर. अरे द सन इज द फादर इज लिविंग, हाउ कैन द सन डाई इन प्रेजेंस ऑफ द फादर? व्हाट काइंड ऑफ रूल्स हैव यू मेड? This is going against the laws of your creation. Viparyas chet tomasi dhruvaparah. You are certainly the enemy. Dhruvaparah. Aapko hamare sukh se bechaini ho rahi hai, isliye sab dukh bhej rahe hai aap. They are accusing the providence. And she accuses quite vehemently. And Prabhupada in that purport writes, this is the way a conditioned soul condemns the supreme creator when he meets reverses. How does the supreme creator, the living entity actually condemns? When, by accusing. Inki wajah se aise ho raha hai. Mere saath aisa kyun? And so many Bollywood movies you have seen, right? Not now, before. And the climax is there, the lady is in the hospital on ventilator or something, and then suddenly the hero comes in front of Mahadev, and then Mahadev, suddenly out of the blue there is torrential rains, and Mahadev goes up and down like that. Tu hai yadi kahin to se bacha le, you know, like that kind of stuff. Accuse the providence. Right? Accuse the providence. Ghante bajaya ja raha hai. And then finally only when the ECG goes normal, then Shivji gets peace. That okay, theek hai, bach gaya karke. Right? But normal parlance we actually see, it's very subtly injected, thinking that when things are beyond your control, somebody else must have done it for you, against you, because you are such a nice person. Accuse providence. And it's a natural emotional response also. Other kind of response is when people come across distress or injustice, they start seeking revenge. They don't accuse the providence, they don't lament, they start seeking, hum karke dikhayenge. Aisa kiya mere saath, I'll pay you in the same currency. And the classic example is Drupad Maharaj. Drupad Maharaj and Dronacharya, this classic animosity between two friends, college friends, Gurukul friends. One of them became very powerful, one of them became a Brahman. Brahman insulted, he said, main tere ko dhila karta hun. So he took half his kingdom, and Drupad said, abhi main tere ko theek karta hun. He is performing this big yagya just to get a son who will actually, you know, kill Dronacharya. And no, Brahmana was ready to do that yagga. And finally Upayaj actually agrees because of certain reasons, and you know, the yagga is performed. But the whole thing was revenge. He wanted to take revenge. His response to the distress that came in life was not just acceptance, revenge. He wanted to harm the other person who apparently was the cause of distress. And then the other example is, other response people give to distress or, you know, some sort of insult or whatever comes in life is, they want to prove themselves to those who inflict pain on them. Tu mujhe gareeb bola na, main karke dikhaunga. And then you have all these old movies where, I don't want to speak dialogues here, but, you know, all can understand, right? So, this is an old movie I remember, I have to say it. There was an old movie I remember where Amitabh Bachchan is a young boy. And I think this is one of the pavements of Marine Drive only, where that is shot. Later on you realize kya kya ho raha hai. And then this person, he's boot polishing. And then this person throws a coin at him. And he says, "Phenke hue paise nahi uthata main." Right? And then this boy grows up to become whoever he was. And then he meets the same gentleman later on for some interaction. And then he again throws, this time not coins, but like a stack of rupees or 100 rupees notes. And then he says the same thing. Phenke hue paise main abhi bhi nahi uthata. And then he says, "Oh my God, the same person." But now he has grown up to prove himself that I need him, not that he needs me. And we have Bhagavatam example. Let's come back from movie. Don't go to YouTube today to check out what exactly was mentioned in the Bhagavatam. Example is Dhruva Maharaj. He wanted to get back to Suruchi and settle accounts by getting a kingdom greater than his great-grandfather. He said, "Hum bhi karke dikhayenge." Hamari maa ko lagta hai ki main apne baap ki god mein isliye baithna chahta tha ki mujhe rajya chahiye. नहीं चाहिए तुम्हारा राज्य, हम उससे बड़ा खड़ा करके दिखाएंगे. अरे बाप क्या दादा से बड़ा करेंगे, दादा क्या पड़दादा से बड़ा करेंगे हम. ध्रुव वॉज इन दैट मूड. बालहट, एक्चुअली इट वॉज बालहट. ही ऑल्सो डिड नॉट रियलाइज वॉट ही वॉज एस्पायरिंग फॉर. एंड सुनीति हियर सर, यू वॉन्ट अ किंगडम ग्रेटर देन योर फादर ग्रैंड फादर. बाबा दिस इज नॉट अवेलेबल ऑन एमेजॉन फ्लिपकार्ट ई बे स्नैपडील. आई कॉन्ट ऑर्डर इट बेटा. गो टू विष्णु. वेयर डू आई फाइंड विष्णु? He said, "Sages go to the forest." And Dhruva immediately left for the forest. Not that he was reconsidering, "Oh ho, forest, matlab okay, theek hai. Jungle hoga, bhook lagi, khana kahan se milega, kuch nahi hoga, chalo, idhar hi rehte hain, baad mein dekhenge." Surichi ko aisa nahi karna chahiye tha, "Mummy, haan, beta, nahi karna chahiye tha, khel le bhi." No. He was a Kshatriya. And Narad Muni is surprised at seeing the Kshatriya spirit in this little boy. But he goes and he proves himself. He gets a kingdom greater than his great-grandfather. He gets the Polish Star, he gets Shiru Sagar, he gets that, you know, abode of the Lord itself to actually become part of. So we see various living entities either lament, accuse providence, you know, wants to take revenge or wants to prove themselves, or, you know, these are the various kinds of ways, and there could be many other ways people can actually respond to distress. And how do liberated souls respond to the distress when it is inflicted upon them? First of all is they take personal responsibility. Classic example of Brahmaji who is saying, "Atmakritam vipakam." All this suffering which are caused to me or caused to any living entities is because of the results of our own actions. Atmakritam vipakam. Right? Classic example of personal responsibility comes in Mahabharata, where we see example of Maharaj Pandu. After he becomes the king of Hastinapur, he goes around conquering all the areas to re-establish the sovereignty of Hastinapur once again, and he comes back with huge stocks of gold and riches and everything else. And finally, he is not of that kind of disposition. He always wanted to stay a peaceful life. So he decides with Kunti and Madri, "Let's go for a holiday to the foothills of Himalayas." So he goes there just for a vacation. And that vacation, one day he's just, you know, moving around hunting as the kings would do to make the forest secure for the brahmanas to live in and perform austerities. He accidentally kills Kindama Muni. And Kindama Muni at that time was in the act of copulation with his wife in the form of a deer and a stag. And Kindama Muni immediately curses him that whenever you would engage in this act of coming together with your wife, you will die. In a moment, from a royal king, Pandu, he became an ascetic performing severe austerities. That's Kala. In a moment, the reality can change and turn around. Pandu Maharaj takes severe vows of celibacy. He went to Saptasrota to start living. And he tells his wife that we have to just live like that. And the wives followed him. But it was interesting that even after such personal struggles in the life of Pandu Maharaj, he is constantly thinking of that, "I am the king. It is my responsibility to give future kings to the Praja. That has to happen through me. Now how is that going to happen? I have this curse on me." And he was constantly in anxiety on that part. And that's why that is the time when Kunti actually informs him that, "I have this boon by which I can request the demigods to come and give me sons." But when great souls undergo personal struggle, they don't let their social responsibility go down. Pandu Maharaj went through personal struggle because of the influence of time. He accepted it. But he also took responsibility of her social disposition. As a king, I am bound to give kings for this praja to be led on the path of dharma. Go hell with what I am struggling with. I have to do the needful because of the role that I play. And sometimes this is what is extremely difficult for a condition or for a normal conditioned souls to manage. And unless one is actually freed from certain level of false egoism, it is difficult to manage these things. Because generally we focus more on our personal struggle than our responsibilities. And we tend to give up our responsibilities as soon as we face the struggles because we think, I'm not ready for it. I'm not good for it. I'm not able to do it. But Pandu Maharaj went on to perform his social responsibility. That's a very classic case of how he accepted responsibility, what was happening to him. At the same time, he did not give up his responsibility that was accrued to him as a role as a king. We have, so Brahmaji is taking responsibility. Kunti Maharani goes one step further. She is asking for miseries to come again and again. Now that is not a replicable model for most of us. Vibda Shantu Yah Shashwat Tatra Tatra Jagat Guru. That please send me miseries again and again, because in those miseries I get an opportunity to remember you, to get to see you, Krishna. For her, absorption in Krishna was far more critical than the miseries that she was experiencing. And what kind of miseries? It was not like miseries matlab job chala gaya, EMI mein bhi hai, abhi 2 mahine kaise ho. No. Sons were being attempted to poison, his daughter-in-law was being, disrespected in such a vehement manner in a culture where, integrity and dignity was glorified in a certain manner. But she had to face all that, and she's saying, let that come again and again. Now, if you would have been Pandavas, you would say, Mummy, kya bol rahi ho? Let them come again and again, matlab hume jana padega. Because that is glory of Pandavas, they never interjected, Mummy, kya bol rahi ho? Kanaiya ne dhang se sun liya to ho jayega gadbad. But that was the mood of Kunti Maharani. She is happy accepting those miseries because she valued absorption more than struggles. The bliss of absorption is far more than the pains of struggles. And therefore, she is requesting this kind of this phenomenal response. And beyond that, in our Vaishnava culture, we have Brahmaji who is accepting responsibility, Pandu Maharaj accepting responsibility, thinking of others, how to take care of them. Kunti Maharaj is saying, let the miseries come, let my absorption increase because I remember you better in the miseries. And Haridas Thakur goes a step forward and he's praying for those who are inflicting miseries on him. Now we can't pray for people who are giving us troubles. Bahut mushkil hai wo kaam karna. To pray for them is extremely difficult. And he's saying in the, Chaitanya Bhagavat, he's saying, actually, Haridas Thakur is saying that if my remaining alive creates a problem for you, then I'll give up my body right now. He's willing to give up his body just because this executioner's life was a threat by the Nawab. Unthinkable. It's Vaishnavara Kriya Mudra. It's sometimes illogical also. ऐसा कैसे मरने दो ना इनको अच्छा है ना काट डालो सुदर्शन से अभी काट डालो सबको नो बट ही वाज इन अ डिफरेंट काइंड ऑफ फ्रेम ऑफ रेफरेंस वेयर ही इज सेइंग लेट दिस एग्जीक्यूशनर्स आल्सो बी फॉरगिवन एंड द लॉर्ड एक्चुअली एडमिट्स दिस व्हेन ड्यूरिंग द महाप्रकाश लीला दैट योर पावर ऑफ योर प्रेयर्स वाज सो पावरफुल द सुदर्शन वाज एक्चुअली मेड हेल्पलेस यू कुडंट डू एनीथिंग ऑन दिस एग्जीक्यूशनर्स सो वी सी हाउ ग्रेट सोल्स रिस्पॉन्ड टू क्राइसिस एंड जस्ट द लास्ट पोर्शन इज How we transist from this conditioned response to liberated response. How does this transition actually takes place? It takes time, but how does it happen? And we have the example of Maharaj Chitraketu, who when lost his son, he lamented bitterly, but when he was cursed to be a demon, he smiled peacefully. How did that change happen between that same personality in the same life? Such a colossal damage, and that too being unjustly cursed from, if you look at it from a certain angle. He just laughed, and Mahadev understood why he laughed. Mahadev also smiled. But somebody else got disturbed. Aisa kaise bola isko? And then the whole thing led to a certain kind of situation for him. He smiled and accepted it peacefully and moved on with no grudge. How did that change happen? So just quickly, first of all, what happened was, we all know the story, but the first stage was in his lamentation, through that lamentation he got opportunity of association of sadhus and hear from them. Now it's like beating the old dead horse again and again, but this is the cardinal principle of practicing a spiritual life, that is hearing and chanting Krishna's holy names, Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's activities. Because simply by the passage of time, everything gets destroyed except ignorance.
accept ignorance. I remember when initial years of I was in VTA, and one of the senior devotees was talking, and he was just asking me, how many years you have been in ISKCON? And I was very happy to tell him this many years. I said, how much have you read Bhagavatam? I said, this many times. He said, are you spacing out or what? You have spent so many years in ISKCON, you have not yet read Bhagavatam? I was expecting glorification. I got chastisement, but in that chastisement, it was actually a wake-up call that, yeah, why have we come to ISKCON? You know, sometimes we come to social organizations also just to socialize. Spiritual organization also to just obviously socialize outside. Now there is a, you know, kind of a music has changed, menu has changed, ambience has changed. Now we socialize with Krishna in the center. May not be absolutely bad, but that's not the all in all. We go to the hospital, we do go to the hospital not because it serves out nice pizza in the cafeteria, because the medicine is working there. So similarly, when we come to ISKCON, like someone was asking me, what is this ISKCON all about? How can we understand ISKCON? I said, ISKCON cannot be comprehensively understood through Govinda's Prasadam plate. Although you may attempt to. ISKCON cannot be understood through Prasadam plate. ISKCON cannot be even understood through gorgeous temples. The spirit of ISKCON is difficult to understand even through elaborate deity worship, although it is fantastic, beautiful and very attractive. But if you really want to understand the spirit of ISKCON, why this society exists, what are we trying to do here? You have to understand through the words and the consciousness of the founder. And that is manifested in Bhaktivedanta purports. So if you are in ISKCON, like somebody was saying, Madhavanand Prabhu, our Gaur Govind Maharaj's disciple, he was saying that how once Maharaj told him that you have come to ISKCON, when will you join? You have come to ISKCON, when will you join ISKCON? Means when will you actually start living by Srila Prabhupada's desire as manifested in his books. The second stage was practice. Maharaj Chitraketu got mantra from Narad Muni. He practiced for 7 days intensely and he gets darshan of Anant Dev. So it is said practice was supercritical. He was, performing what the process that he had received from Narad Muni very diligently. So diligent practice of the process. Once you go to the doctor, you don't go to the doctor to just talk to him and ask him, how are you? You don't go to the doctor to just ask about how is his family doing. We go to the doctor to understand what is my disease and what medicine am I supposed to take. And take that medicine. Just by keeping the medicine in the cupboard, we don't get cured. We have to take the medicine. And, you know, there are no shortcuts to spiritual perfection. We have to do this, you know, long, diligent practice of sadhana, the process of chanting and hearing. Don't expect miracles in life. Expect hard works. If miracles happen, just be grateful. But our role is diligent practice of sadhana day in and day out. And, you know, through that practice, become purified. He got realization as the third stage, and finally, the fourth stage was taste. His taste for glorifying Krishna erupted, and Bhagavatam explains that how after this darshan of Vishnu, he gets Sankarshan, he gets this aerial plane and with Vidyadharas and all these beautiful ladies are around him, but he is totally absorbed in glorifying Krishna. He is totally absorbed in glorifying the Supreme Lord. So, finally, the fifth stage was, he was tested. When Parvati cursed him to become a demon, he was tested. But because he had taste in glorifying Krishna, by that time, he could continue. Whether in pleasure or in pain. Krishna put him in pleasure, he continued glorifying Krishna. He put him in pain, he still continued glorifying Krishna. It was his taste which determined his response. Many times in life, against distress, response to the dualities in this world is reciprocal or is dependent on the kind of taste we have developed in a spiritual life. If there is no taste in a spiritual life, there is no absorption in spiritual life, slight agitations will bring out what is within. But Chitraketu Maharaj was able to tolerate and happily accept the curse of Parvati and just move on and being glorified by Mahadev because he had such deep taste for glorifying Krishna. So this is one thing we can actually, personally introspecting is which we need to actually constantly think about. I may be spending time in the spiritual movement
Am I growing in my taste? Because the time spent will not save me from the dualities of this world. It is my taste which is going to redefine how I respond to dualities in this world. So Chitraketu Maharaj had this taste which, you know, really empowered him to deal with this extremely difficult duality. And in life, only when we are tested do we realize how deep is our taste. In a spiritual life, in a spiritual sound vibration, and through that response, Krishna reciprocates by awarding us deeper realizations and taste, and that helps us deal with the dualities of this material world. Otherwise, people, if we don't have that deep taste, we will just keep spending time using the bricks of unrealistic hopes. We will create only castles of pain on the ever-sifting sands of time, which is constantly changing, and expect stability and sovereignty, which is not going to happen. All we get is disappointment at the end of the day. So as the time is going, tasrate yachano nitam uttam shloka vartaya, that as time is progressing, sun is taking away life, let us use that time to get deeper in taste by glorifying Krishna. Uttama shloka gunanu varnanam. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthrashmat Bhagavat Mahapurana ki jai.